Patty DeGangi and Shirley Gutkowski are known for bringing their Midwestern sensibility to today's health issues with an eye towards the future. With decades of experience in clinical dental hygiene, writing about it, speaking on it, and pondering over all aspects of it, Patty and Shirley challenge dental hygienists to reach higher levels of revolutionary thinking to meet 21st century patient needs, wants, and expectations. Beware their infectious excitement. It can be catchy.
Welcome to the Modern Millennial Hygienist. This is Shirley Gutkowski, and I'm joined today with Judy Carroll, and we're going to be talking about her article, Ignore the Biofilm and Calculus, It's Time to Think Differently. And I think that that is a topic that, well, we kind of allude to all the time. And I like to say now, in the last, 6 or 8 months, that periodontal disease is not a topical disease. And the idea that we talk about oral systemic links and then we revert to better flossing is just a slap in the face to healthcare in general and to dental hygienists in particular. So, Judy, I was so happy that you picked this topic to talk about today.
Well, thank you, Shirley. You know, it's kind of funny because the article that I wrote a couple months back really focused in on the biofilm and calculus and how important it was to remove definitively. The reason I chose this title is I think that all too often we focus on biofilm and calculus and we stop right there. Whenever you see a patient come in and you see lots of calculus and maybe radiographic calculus and you see that their home care is not quite up to par, your first thought, I think for me as well, for years, my first thought was, well, if I get them cleaned up, they're going to be healthy. And so, you know, we teach them good home care and we get the calculus out as best we can and then we reevaluate the case. But what I wanted to do with this article was kind of change our way of thinking, because there's a reason that they present with radiographic calculus and plaque and biofilm and that sort of thing. There's a reason that they've attracted this. And it's not just about inadequate home care. It's not just about, you know, lack of professional care. There's usually more going on. And 9 times out of 10, you'll find things going on with the host. And that's really where our focus needs to be. When you first see a case like this and you see chronic inflammation, what I'd like people to do is kind of retrain their mind to ignore it and think deeper and automatically put your mind in that mode of, okay, what's going on with the host that is creating this disease? And just ignore the biofilm and the calculus for now and dig for further answers about chronic inflammatory disease. Because I guarantee you, you're going to find a lot of things that are out of balance with your patients.
Right.
You can't, you know, treating it.
And yeah, we have to be able to measure some of that stuff. And currently what most hygienists are doing is measuring the amount of calculus. And I see that on a lot of the dental hygiene discussion groups on Facebook. Every now and then somebody will point out, look at this big chunk of calculus I pulled off. This patient is so grateful, la, la, la. And I'm like thinking to myself, yay, yippee, skippy, but what does his blood work look like? And what about his diet or her diet? And what about all of these other contributing factors? And really, truthfully, a monkey can be trained to do that. And we have to do better and do more.
Absolutely. You know, it's going from, like you had mentioned, it's going from technician to clinician.
Yeah.
And using critical thinking skills, because let's face it, the dental hygienist role, it has completely changed over the last 20 years or 30 years, really. We're, you know, with new technologies and with new understanding of host response and what causes chronic disease, this has changed our role. It's such an exciting time to be a hygienist because now we can do co-therapy with the medical doctor or the naturopathic physician or, you know, doing oral facial myofunctional therapy and being involved in that and really directing this patient to getting the appropriate care that they need. I think all too often we're so focused on that calculus and that biofilm that it's become routine. It's just become routine. And unfortunately, I think a lot of practices, you know, the hygienist feels that their hands are tied and they can only do so much in that hour, and they can only do what's kind of been outlined by the dentist. And the hygienist oftentimes will take a back seat, maybe, where he or she really needs to be the leading clinician in total health. And, you know, that's what we do in my clinic, and I've taken a lead, and I get the necessary blood work. I get them referred to specialists as needed, that sort of thing. The hygienist should be directing all this, because the medical professional doesn't even know that this patient has periodontal disease. The medical professional doesn't know that they have high levels of virulent pathogens, or that they have, you know, certain other things going on. You know, they don't know what's going on in the patient's mouth. So it's our role, because we know everything about the patient. The hygienist knows everything about the patient if they're collecting all the data. And you really have to learn, as a hygienist, you've got to learn how to interpret the data, too. You can't just be doing tests and then, you know, and then call it good. You've got to learn how to interpret the data. So I have included in this article, at the end of this article, some great, you know, continuing education courses to consider, knowing how to interpret what is going on with the host and what might be, how that would show up in the mouth. Let's just take, for an example, vitamin D deficiency. Or let's say hyperglycemia. Many of our patients are pre-diabetic and they don't know it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that contributes to chronic inflammation in the absence of plaque and calculus. And a lot of people don't know that either. They don't know that that host can be chronically inflamed without plaque and calculus. So sometimes you'll clean up a patient and they look a lot better than when they first came in, for example, but there's still chronic inflammation going on with a lot of our cases, and sometimes you may not even be able to see it. It might be, you know, hiding just beneath the surface, where someone like myself with an endoscope kind of has the advantage in that regard, mm-hmm. because I can see exactly what the inflammatory response is doing. And, you know, lack of bleeding on probing does not always equal health. It just doesn't.
Well,
and patients are getting recession and bone loss, you know, these recession cases are a good example, too. I see these kinds of cases all the time. They do have chronic inflammation, and they continue to lose attachment, and nobody says anything because they don't have deep pockets. You know?
And they don't know what to say. They don't know what their answer should be. You made mention of something that Patty DeGangi has used in some of our Killing the Parrot courses, the ADHA Standards of Clinical Dental Hygiene Practice. I don't know that many hygienists even know that that document exists.
You know why I like that document? Because it states in the document that the dental hygienist is the expert. The dental hygienist is the expert, and it puts him or her in that central role of directing patient care, total care. And I think that, unfortunately, our profession has become more about scaling and polishing and not a lot more. We've become more about, you know, making lots of money for the practice and really focused on the business end, maybe, but not as much as the leader in therapy, in true therapy, and getting that patient hooked up with a medical doctor and getting appropriate labs and that sort of thing. So I like that paper because it really, I think it outlines the hygienist's role as the leader in patient care. It does need to be updated, though. I will say that it definitely needs to be updated to include things like, oral facial myofunctional therapy, sleep apnea, you know, things like this, airway issues. I think there's a lot of risk factors in both of those papers I mentioned that really need to be updated to current times and our understanding of chronic disease.
Well, I think the ADA, yeah, I do. The ADA just put out a paper on periodontal infections. I couldn't read it because it was just so 1984, and I couldn't bear to even continue reading it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Say that again.
You know what I'm talking about? I think you probably.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, the American Academy of Perio put out a paper, which I included in the link here. It's Comprehensive Periodontal Therapy, a statement by the American Academy of Periodontology. And, you know, that paper was published in 2011, and it talks about doing genetic testing and doing pathogen testing, which I liked. Mm-hmm. And it talked about doing a medical assessment. You know, it talked about these things, nutritional assessment, medical assessment, things like that. It didn't, however, talk about sleep, you know, obstructive sleep apnea and mouth breathing and tongue thrusting, all those things.
Yeah.
I really think that paper needs to be updated as well. And I did like the part that they do recommend, you know, genetic testing and bacteria testing. You know, and the thing that falls short, because I think we really do fall short, is that we wait for the signs of disease before we actually do take any action, which is unfortunate.
Yep.
We should be more on the preventative side of things and actually test these patients before we see clinical signs of inflammation. And that's what's really exciting, is that we can offer a higher level of preventative care now like we never could before.
And you can't do that in a half an hour either, right?
No, and you know, I understand. I do understand. But you know what? I was talking to a hygienist earlier today about this. You know, I think that too many times I witness hygienists talking about their vacation or their kids or their pets or whatever it is in that hour time or whatever time they have with that patient. And we really need to bring it back to the basics and understanding preventative medicine and preventative care, and use that time well to talk more about the things that we know now that we didn't know 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. It's a great time to introduce this stuff to your patient and say, you know, Mary, we now know. And so now we need to change our health history to reflect that new knowledge that we have. And a lot of times patients, you know, they're filling out these health histories from the 1980s. We need to update the health history as well. We need to understand.
I'm with you, sister.
You know, family, you know, family risk factors, you know, just all the stuff that I outlined in this paper. We really need to go more in depth about our patient. It's very individualized. It's not one size fits all anymore.
Exactly.
So, and
it's system wide. We can't just keep focusing on the topical things that we can see with our bare naked eyes. There's more to it than this. And we would like to invite our readers and the people who are listening to these short podcasts to engage in the areas below. There's little comment boxes all over the place. And please do find a way to make a comment. What do you guys think about this? You can't do all this stuff in a half an hour appointment, as we kind of alluded to. So maybe you do that instead of what you had planned on doing in your half an hour appointment. What do you think of that? Thanks a lot, Judy, for another really insightful article and a really important topic that needed to see the light of day.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Modern Millennial Hygienist audio article. Post your comments on Facebook at Modern Hygienist. You can find out more about the authors on their websites, crosslinkradio.com, pdeganji.com, and periopeak.com.